Hello, and welcome to the Preview Spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mayo.
And I'm Bob Bretall. In this episode, we'll be spotlighting items from the current month's previews catalog.
This is Preview Spotlight number 61 for the November 2012 previews. In this episode, we'll be going over the items and previews that we and our listeners found interesting. We have an open submission policy for these episodes. I want to stress that because we really encourage you to send in clips each month for the items you find interesting and that other people might enjoy. Why do I want to stress that? Because this month, not a whole lot of clips coming in. Now, on the upside, that makes it easy for me to edit the episode. It'll also make it a nice short episode comparatively to some of the others we've had for you to listen to. However, there are thousands of items in the previews every month, and it's easy for things to get lost in the shuffle. So, you know, help us out, help yourselves out, help each other out. There's great stuff in here. And frankly, my total was a little lower than usual this time around, and I'm willing to bet that if somebody had found something in there and said, hey, you know, John would like this, I should send in a clip, they might have been able to get somebody another sale. Maybe not, don't know. As always, we're going to start at the beginning of previews, work our way to the back. Obviously, we're not going to go item by item or page to page, because that would be just crazy. But we're going to hit the highlights that we saw, that Damien saw, that Ian saw, and I think those are the only people who sent in clips this time around. And yes, I know we're getting towards the holiday times, things are getting busy and stuff for people, I get that, but please, these episodes really survive or not based on listener participation and people sending in clips. It's easy to do, we've got instructions on the forum. If you need more help than that, by all means, email us or post on the forum. We're willing to help out. There's a ton of great comics, it's easy for things to drop below my radar for far too long. And I frankly really appreciate the help in hearing about what's out there, both in terms of what will fit my tastes and what will not. That way I can spend my money on the stuff that will and not on something that would just disappoint me and, you know, do nobody any good.
So this month, I was also low on my total. I've been cutting back. I'm down to, at this point, I think I ordered 102 comics, which, you know, a lot of people I know listening are like, 102, you're crazy, that's a lot. But, you know, given that I was getting 185 year and a half ago, it is a pretty decent sized reduction, and I'm pretty much able to keep up with this number of comics. I fall behind every now and again because I'll buy back issues and, you know, big piles of stuff. I was at the Long Beach Comic Con and I bought, you know, 100 back issues. Recent back issues out of a dollar bin, but it was 60 cents if you got 100, and I was getting all kinds of DC and Marvel books from the last year or so that I had skipped over because I cut back my reading a lot, but it's like, oh, 60 cents a piece, I can't resist. So now I've got a lot more stuff in my to read pile, but it'll be fun.
Shall we start playing the clips?
Sure. And on page 38 from Dark Horse Comics, we've got The Answer, number 1 of 4. The idea and creation by Mike Norton. He's also doing the art, written by Dennis Hopeless. We've got Devin McKenzie is an insomniac librarian with a knack for solving puzzles. The Answer is a masked crime fighter with a giant exclamation point on his face. Aside from a penchant for late nights, they share nothing in common until both become embroiled in a deadly mystery surrounding a sinister motivational speaker. You can guarantee this is going to have great art by Mike Norton. And if you come back on Friday for the interview episode, you'll hear me talk to Mike about The Answer and a bunch of other stuff that he's currently working on. This is a special discount, 50% off from DCBS, and I will be right there getting this entire 4-issue miniseries, and I'm looking forward to number 1 coming in January.
Hey
Hey guys, it's Damien here from LordShaper.com with my first pick of the month, which is on page 41 of the Dark Horse section of previews, and it is Avatar: The Last Airbender, The Search Part 1. Now, I haven't actually talked about this one before. It's one that I didn't pick up, but I think I'm actually going to pick up for my son, mainly for the reason that he is a big Avatar fan. I actually enjoyed the series as well. It was a really well-done series. The Legend of Korra is actually looking to be really good as well. I've watched the first series so far, and we're eagerly waiting to have the next one come out. But this is one that, you know, the one question that was never answered is whatever happened to Zuko's mother? And this is where they actually start to go through what happened to her, where she is. Is she alive? Is she not alive? What's going on with it? So if you haven't seen it, or if you've seen the series and you want to sort of continue on to see what's happening there, I'd recommend picking up this. It's actually not too dear, actually. $10.99 for 80 pages. You know, and we're looking at, it's going to be discounted, of course, when you get it online or your local place. So check it out. What more can I say? It was Avatar. It was a great series. So go and pick it up. And, yeah, I'll be back with more. So let's go back to Bob and John.
Hello, this is Ian Gowan, a fan of this podcast. And this month, I am excited about a comic book called The Black Beetle, number 1 of 4 from Dark Horse Comics on page 48 of your previews catalog. It's written by Francesco Francavilla, with art also by Francesco Francavilla. I believe he does the art digitally, and he also does the coloring. There aren't that many comics being published that are written, drawn, colored, all by the same creator. The preview page here in the previews catalog gives you a pretty good idea of what the art style is like. This is a pulp style action hero that is created by Francavilla, and I think it's set in the pulp era. And this should not be confused with the Black Beetle that goes along the Blue Beetle in the DC universe. This Black Beetle series is continuing out of the Dark Horse Presents comic. It's going to be 50% off from DCBS, so it's $1.99, and it'll be released on January 16th, and I look forward to reading it. Thanks, Bob and John.
Next up on page 101 is Birds of Prey number 16. Now, in this issue, we get a new member of the Birds of Prey. We get Strix, who is a former Talon from the Court of Owls and stuff. We've seen her in a few issues already. And the only other characters we see on the cover here are Batgirl, Black Canary, and Starling. So we may actually be losing a member or two, or they just may not be on the cover. I'm not sure. There's something listed about something going terribly wrong for Black Canary, and one of the things they've been doing across a few different titles, Team 7, this title, and possibly, I think it might have been Suicide Squad, is revealing that her husband, who we saw in the Zero issue of Team 7, appears to still be alive, or at least kept in some kind of cryonics or something like that, maybe. So what goes terribly wrong could have something to do with that, or maybe not. Anyways, Birds of Prey tends to be a fairly fun title. We're getting art by Romano Molinar and Vicente Cifuentes, which is interesting because I thought they said they were going to have, Talent Caldwell on this title. The art we're seeing on the cover is I think, a better suit for this title than Talent Caldwell would have been. Dwayne Swierinski is still doing the writing and stuff. Again, fun title, worth checking out. We get a new member. If you're following the Court of Owls stuff, this may be a good jumping on point for you. Hopefully, since we're getting a new member, they'll use that as a good entry ramp for new readers as well. So, once again, that's Birds of Prey number 16 on page 101. We got a 50% discount through DCBS on that. Taking the $2.99 cover price, bringing it down to around $1.49.
On page 106 from DC, we've got the Green Lantern Corps Annual number 1, written by Peter Tomasi with art and cover by Chris Cross. The Rise of the Third Army ends in this issue. Thanks to the Third Army, the Guardians have shut down the Green Lantern Corps. Everything from Green Lantern in the last several months have been building to this, and get ready for a go-for-broke ending, which sets up the next Green Lantern event. Don't know what the next event's going to be, but they're setting it up here. You might want to make sure you get this one on your pull list, because these annuals that are tied into events tend to get picked up by people who don't normally get them, or else the shops just under-order them. The first part of this flew off the shelves and was quickly hard to get your hands on. So you might want to make sure your shop knows that you want to get Green Lantern Corps Annual Number 1, and it's also got a special discount from DCBS.
Hey guys, it's Damien, back again with my next pick for the month on page 125 of the DC section, which is Batman Beyond Unlimited number 12. This is actually the penultimate chapter in the Thousand Clowns Batman Beyond epic, and to be honest, the reason I'm doing this one at this point is because one of my favorite characters is actually coming into it, which is Lobo. So we all know Lobo can't die. It's been established that he can grow back from one single cell if need be, so what's going to happen with him? He might just be an old man who's going to go through from that, but let's see what happens in sort of the future period, and what is Lobo going to be doing? Is he still going to be the same? What's going to happen? So I'm going to be interested in this one. 48 pages for $3.99, so it's actually a larger book there. And, you know, I've been enjoying the series, so I really love Batman Beyond. You know, I loved it from the cartoon series onwards, so I will be getting this one, of course, and I recommend it to everyone else who was ever a fan of the Batman Beyond series as well. It's just the fact this actually brings in more of the characters, so it brings in the Justice League and things like that, so there you have it, Batman Beyond Unlimited number 12 on page 125, and I'll let you go back to John and Bob.
Next up on page 137 is Young Justice number 24. Now this is an adaptation, or companion series I should say, of the Young Justice animated series that had been going on Cartoon Network. I say had because it seems to have just kind of disappeared for a little bit. Hopefully it'll be coming back soon, because it is an amazing cartoon series. While it features Young Justice, which is kind of, you know, characters from the Young Justice comic book series and from the Teen Titans group of characters and stuff, they're like a covert squad for the Justice League. And the Justice League plays a pretty major role in the cartoon and in the comic book series. And the comic book series is, again, a great kind of companion for the cartoon. In this issue, we've got Deadshot, we've got Batgirl, she's fighting Match, we've got Killstar decimating the Superboy in the Justice League, we've got Nightwing's team failing against Brainiac. But what I find really cool is on the cover here, we've got Plastic Man, and he really hasn't shown up that I recall in the cartoon. This series, both the comic and the cartoon, are doing a great job presenting kind of an alternate take on the DC universe. I mean, really, the number of characters they've brought in, the scope of the series has been very impressive, and they did a very interesting thing between season 1 and season 2, and they jumped forward 5 years. And the comic book is now, you know, caught up kind of to that point, and the stuff they've been able to do is really cool, really fun. This is an all-ages comic, it is an all-ages cartoon, and by which I mean it's not, you know, like Super Friends or something where it's kind of kiddified and geared towards a younger audience. This is, on the comic side, skewing a little on the younger side, just in terms of accessibility and stuff, but really, the Young Justice property, both the comic and the cartoon, are, I would say, on par with like the Batman, the animated series level of storytelling. You've got some cool in-depth stuff. They talk about some not deep stuff, but serious subject matters and whatnot. And are having growth curves for the characters. They're evolving, and really, I think a lot of people are skipping this because either it's based on a cartoon or they think it's geared for kids or something like that, and it's really just some wonderful stuff. So again, Young Justice number 24 on page 137. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS, so check it out.
And on page 144, we've got the New Deadwardians trade paperback. This is a collection of the 8-issue miniseries. Both John and I loved this series. This is set in post-Victorian England, and nearly every member of the upper class has voluntarily become a vampire in order to escape the zombies, the zombie plague. We have some humans in there. The humans are kind of the servant class still, but there's also a lot of zombies. They call the zombies the Restless. And into this is Chief Inspector George Suttle, a lonely vampire detective who's got the slowest beat in London, investigating murders in a world where pretty much everybody's already dead. But somehow a vampire manages to be killed, and not in one of the traditional fashions, and he has to unravel this mystery. This was a great series. I highly recommend it. And if you get a chance, check it out, page 144. Put it on your radar when this comes out. It will be a great story to read.
Next up on page 157 from IDW is Doctor Who Prisoners of Time number 1. This is part of a 12-issue limited series featuring, of course, Doctor Who. They're celebrating the 50-year anniversary of the TV show, which started on November 23rd, 1963. And, of course, we're up to 11 incarnations of the Doctor with the current Matt Smith one. And this miniseries is going to kind of, you know, go through, or at least feature, all 11 of them. It looks like it's going to be focusing on, you know, one Doctor per issue for at least the first 11, and hopefully at some point in that 12th we'll see them all kind of, you know, play a piece in the story all at once or something. So this one is featuring the original Doctor, the William Hartnell version. I'm a big Doctor Who fan. I'll admit my knowledge of the earlier Doctors is somewhat limited. I got on board with the revival of the series that Russell T. Davies started up a couple of years ago. Really enjoying that. It's great stuff. I think IDW's been doing a great job with both the Doctor Who property, Star Trek, and they really know how to manage licensed properties very well. And they had another series, miniseries a little while ago, that dealt with the various Doctors and whatnot, and I found that highly enjoyable. And I'm expecting great things from this. So, once again, that's Doctor Who Prisoners of Time number 1. It's on page 157. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. So if you're a Doctor Who fan, certainly check this out. If you're curious about Doctor Who, I think this is going to be a great way to jump on, because you'll get introduced to each of the characters. There's also going to be a backup feature of an essay about that Doctor featured in that issue. So again, great way to learn about the different incarnations and just enjoy it as a comic series. Definitely worth checking out. Cover price $3.99. Again, like I said, we got a 50% discount that drops it to around $1.99 through DCBS.
And on page 173 from IDW is The Highways, number 1 of 4. This is written and drawn by John Byrne. Humanity has not yet reached for the stars, but the solar system is still a busy, exciting, and sometimes very dangerous place, as young Eddie Wallace is about to discover when he joins the crew of the freighter that hauls cargo along the highways. John Byrne's all-new spacefaring series starts here. I'm looking forward to it a lot. DCBS has a special variant cover available, the regular cover, and the special variant, only available through DCBS, is 50% off, so you can get it for $1.99. Check this one out if you're a fan of John Byrne, if you're a fan of sci-fi and space. I know I am, and I'll be right there checking out The Highways number 1. And on page 184 from Image is a hardcover from Paul Pope. This is called One Trick Ripoff and Deep Cuts. This is a collection of stories
We've got a bounty of unpublished and rare work that Pope did in the 90s, including the legendary Super Trouble manga created by Kodansha in Japan. It appears here in print in English for the first time. It's a tour de force of Paul Pope goodness. Got 288 pages in this. Over 150 of those pages are new, rare, and never-before-seen stories from Paul Pope. So if you're a Paul Pope fan, and I am, you're going to want to check this one out. If you look in your previews catalog at page 185, you're going to see some sample art from this. Well, if you're a Paul Pope fan, you know what you're in for. If you're not a Paul Pope fan, why don't you check it out and see if this looks like something you'll like. I can say that I would highly recommend anything by Paul Pope. He's a great creator, one of the top creators in comics today in my book. So if you're an indie fan and like some really interesting and unique stories, then this is something you definitely want to check out. 288-page hardcover is $29.99, but it's 50% off through DCBS, so you'll be able to pick it up for only $14.99. Next, on page 186, is Días de las Muertas, number 1 of 3. This is by Riley Rossmo, and it is in the oversized Golden Age format. Now, each issue of this 3-issue series is drawn by Riley Rossmo, but it's got story by 3 different writers. And so it's going to be 3 short stories in each issue. Over 3 issues, that means Riley's going to be working with 9 different writers over the course of the 3 issues. In this first issue, a mariachi falls in love with a woman who strongly resembles his lost love. A father is abused by a poltergeist, and a girl whose mother died when she was born visits the land of the dead in her dreams. You can check out page 187 of the previews catalog for some sample art, and it looks wonderful. If you're a Riley Rossmo fan, this is going to be right up your alley. Check this out. See if the art appeals to you. Different art styles appeal to different people. You might think this is great, like I do. You might say, well, this one's not my cup of tea, in which case you want to pass on it. But if you like this, I'm looking really forward to it. This is the kind of book that you definitely want to go to your local comic shop and you want to tell them, preserve this for me, because it's not going to necessarily be sitting on the shelf of every comic shop without people asking for it. If you're a DCBS customer, this $4.99 book will be 50% off, $2.49. Check it out, page 186 and 187 of the previews catalog. And on page 6 of the Marvel catalog, New Avengers number 1. Now, I have dropped off Avengers several years ago in the previous regime, but it's being restarted with Jonathan Hickman and Steve Epting working on it. I am a huge fan of what Jonathan Hickman did, both in his indie work and also at Marvel on Fantastic Four. So seeing what he's going to do with the Avengers franchise, I'm very excited. And Steve Epting is a wonderful artist. So, New Avengers, we've got to prevent the collision of our universe with another, the Illuminati, led by the Black Panther, must assemble now. The most powerful and brilliant team in the Marvel Universe. Black Panther, Iron Man, Doctor Strange, Black Bolt, Mr. Fantastic, Namor, and the Beast against an infinite legion of parallel realities. This seems like something that is right up Hickman's alley, and the whole Illuminati twist on the New Avengers looks like it's going to be really, really cool. I have liked what Bendis did with the Illuminati, and seeing Hickman playing with those toys, that's going to be a really fun read. So we've got the first 2 issues solicited here in this. We've got on page 6 and on page 8. But this is one of the Marvel Now books I am really excited and looking forward to. It's going to get me back into the Avengers franchise. And on page 16 of the Marvel catalog, we've got Savage Wolverine number 1. I'm not normally a Wolverine and X-Men kind of guy, but they got me on this one. It's written and drawn by Frank Cho. I am a huge Frank Cho fan. If Frank is doing a book, I am going to get it. He is somebody who is on my automatic buy list. What we've got going on here in Savage Wolverine is Wolverine awakes to find himself transported to the Savage Land and labeled public enemy number one. With no memory of how he got there, and Shanna the She-Devil, his only ally, Logan must unravel the mystery that slumbers at the heart of the Savage Land before it finds a way to kill him first. So, what have we got? We've got Wolverine, we've got dinosaurs, we've got Shanna the She-Devil, all drawn by Frank Cho. I am absolutely on board for this, and I'll be sticking with this series as long as Frank Cho is drawing it.
Next up on page 20 of the Marvel previews is Young Avengers number 1, written by Karen Gillan, art by Jamie McKelvey, with extra Norton sauce added. Apparently Mike Norton's going to be helping out on the backgrounds and stuff. I am really looking forward to this. When Bob and I reviewed the Marvel Now .1 issue, this was the highlight. The story was a lot of fun. The art was amazing. I'm really looking forward to McKelvey's work on the art. I've got a ton of respect and just love Mike Norton's work. And yeah, he may only be, quote unquote, only be doing the backgrounds and stuff, but I mean, let's face it, good backgrounds and stuff can either make or break a comic. And if that's, gonna help McKelvey, you know, keep this on a regular basis, you know, I totally respect, the fact that they are planning ahead and, McKelvey's not like trying to overcommit or anything like this. I think it's going to be a very compatible gel for the art style. I think they're going to work very well, be on the same page with the writer and stuff again. The Marvel Now .1 aspect that had the Young Avengers stuff, a lot of fun. This is, I think, going to be one of the highlights of the Marvel Now stuff. Bob did an interview with Mike Norton. We'll have that up on the Friday episode. This is a $2.99 cover price. We've got a 50% discount through DCBS. And if you're getting a bunch of the Marvel Now stuff, DCBS is doing bundles. You know, get all these and get a slightly better discount or what have you. Which, frankly, was what got me on board with our next pick that Damian's going to talk about now.
Hey guys, it's Damian back with my last pick for the month, which is again in the Marvel actual catalog. As you should know by now, this is one that I rarely actually go into much. But how can I go past? I mentioned it last month. I'm going to mention it again. We have Morbius, the Living Vampire, number one. To be honest, I'm buying it because it's Morbius. I don't really know much about what the story is. I don't really care about what the story is. Him trying to get his redemption, I'll give it or take it. But, you know, even back in the earlier series, he sort of had that remorse for what he became. So I'm going to give it a chance. I'm going to give it a go. It's one of two books I actually get from Marvel. So, yes, I do actually get another one. I do get Daredevil, so you can't go wrong there. But, yeah, I'm going to check it out. I love the character. How can I go wrong? So it is, you know... Yeah, how can I go wrong? This one's Morbius in the Marvel catalog. Check it out. Okay, I'll let you go back to the guys, and I'll be back next month.
Next up on page 254 is Critter number 8 from Big Dog, Inc. Written by Tom Hutchinson, Fico Osio, and I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that, is the artist. I'm not good with the... I'm just not good with names in general, actually. It's not even foreign names that give me... I'm just bad with names. Sorry about that. Anyways, Critter and her crew are heading to Vegas for an event of biblical proportions. Now, readers of other Big Dog Inc. properties will recognize that the Penny for Your Soul is set in Vegas and deals with biblical characters. So I'm wondering if this is going to be kind of the first crossover... in the Big Dog Inc. universe. Kind of currently I've been having no better idea, thinking those properties were potentially in different universes, maybe in their same one or not. Either way, it hasn't really been relevant to the story here. It could be a lot of fun to see them cross over. I think Big Dog has some really cool properties, really cool stories. They're doing some great work. and you know, I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with this. It's a $350 cover price. We have a 45% discount through DCBS, dropping that down. If you haven't sampled something from Big Dog, do so. Pick either Critter Number 8 or one of the other things. This publisher has really been clicking with me, I think also with Bob quite a bit. And I think if you give the publisher a chance, it'll either click with you or not. But if one of the titles clicks with you, odds are a lot of them will. I found them to have a very consistent level of quality and sensibility. I mean, their properties are very different, but the way they tell stories and stuff like that, you know, I've found that I've enjoyed most of their stuff. So give them a shot, see what you think. Next up on page 274 is the standard number one from Comics Tribe. Now, I've been reading Scam, or maybe it's The Scam, either way, from Comics Tribe, which is a, you know, heist-based con artist kind of a thing with people with superpowers, and really enjoying it. Good level of art, good level of story. So when I saw this from Comics Tribe, and it's a property that's making its U.S. debut, so I don't know where it's shown up before, but it's about the world's first superhero who has retired, and his sidekick is having to take on the mantle and stuff, and determining if he can really be that kind of a hero or not, because he had taken the place of the Standard and became more of a celebrity than a hero, which I think is a fun concept and stuff. And again, as I was talking about in my last clip with Big Dog Inc. and stuff, you know, when I find a publisher I like, you know, I'm willing to give them kind of the benefit of the doubt on a new property or something like that to see if it's got the sensibility that'll work for me or not. That's exactly what I'm doing here. You know, we've got the cover and art by Jonathan Recker, Rector. We've got John Leeds doing the writing. I've enjoyed what this publisher has done so far. I'm hoping this is going to be another publisher I can just kind of add to my be sure to check out, you know, every month in previews, because I'll like what they'll do, you know, list, which unfortunately these days is getting a little low, so I could use some help picking out some good indies. Again, I'm hoping this is going to be one of them. It sounds like a fun concept. It's on page 274. It's got a $3.99 cover price. Again, because smaller publishers don't have quite such good deals with Diamond and so forth, and frankly, they usually have lower print runs, so they have higher costs. They're usually not able to do the 50 or 75% crazy discounts and stuff through DCBS. It just, the economies of scale don't work out in their favor. So, you know, DCBS is actually, this is, correction, this is one we picked late, so DCBS isn't even really giving it an extra discount. This is just kind of the standard one back there. But if this works out well and I enjoy this, maybe the next time I see a new thing from Comics Tribe, Bob and I will be, you know, a little proactive ahead of time and plan that out better. But again, I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to give it a shot. And, you know, we'll see where it goes.
And on page 315 from Sea Lion Books, we've got Aureus number one. This is written by Brian Buccolato and David Wall. Arts by Pat Lee. Now, Brian Buccolato works on DC's The Flash. David Wall has been doing the executive assistant books over at Aspen Comics. I like all of that. Pat Lee does some great art. So I'm definitely going to be trying this one out. I'm glad that I noticed it here on page 315 of the previews catalog. We've got an extraterrestrial race known as the Greys. It's becoming extinct on their homeworld, Aureus. Forces them to find a new place to populate. The Grey develop a new breed of artificially intelligent assassins to infiltrate a primitive planet, Earth. Things go awry when the assassins develop the ability to program themselves and set their own destructive agenda. This is a three-issue series, $2.99 per issue. 45% off with DCBS. I'm definitely checking this one out. It's not a long commitment, and it's also a book that I can almost guarantee is not going to be on the racks at 90% of the comic book shops in the United States if you don't ask for it. So check it out. If it looks interesting to you, as it does to me, you absolutely want to go to your comic shop and ask them to pre-order this book for you so it will be there when it comes out in January.
Next up on page 326 is Exo Manowar number 9. Now, this is starting up the Planet Death, or leading into, I guess, the Planet Death storyline, which they're billing as kind of the major Exo Manowar event, a year in the making and so forth. Valiant has been doing great stuff. I've liked everything they've come out with so far. And their quality is great. I mean, their art. I mean, Trevor Harrison on this is doing some wonderful stuff. Robert Vivendi is doing some great stories. A little bit of a slow burn at the beginning, but you know it's kicked up to speed. And in this Exo Manowar is going up against the Exo Commandos, so people with presumably the same or similar armor as his, except he's outnumbered this time. So we'll find out how good of a warrior he really is. They've been doing, like I said, great stuff here. I strongly recommend people check out the various Valiant titles. Bob and I are trying to point out when they're good jumping on points. This looks like it's going to be a great one. I really don't think you'll be disappointed. This is a $3.99 cover price. We have a 50% discount on it, dropping that price down to around $1.99. If you like Iron Man type stuff or Conan, this is kind of a really wild kind of mix of the two. I'm trying to think what else I can say other than just go check it out. I mean, really, it's Valiant has been doing an amazing job of getting really talented artists. I think they've got just the most consistent and kind of best quality out there of a lot of publishers. And they're writing, they're not skimping on that either. They're telling great stories with some depth, with actual substance to each issue. Yeah, some of the stories go across issues, but I never feel like, wow, I only got like three scenes and that's it or something. I feel like I got some meat to the story every issue. So check out Exo Manowar number 9 on page 326. I don't think you'll be disappointed. So, as we talked a little before we started playing the clips and stuff, I think this was a low month for both of us. My total usually winds up somewhere in the ballpark around $500. Sometimes a little more, like if, like one of those artist edition comes out, I'll let it, you know, sneak up maybe 40, 50 bucks or whatever. And sometimes it's a little lower. This time, it's hovering right around $438, and that's after bags, boards, shipping, discount, and all that stuff. And I only have, I think, one big ticket item, and that's that Gutters hardcover, collecting the webcomic stuff. Everything else is just individual comics and stuff.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm still getting a ton.
Particularly in the back half of previews, I am very light this month, and that's the exact place where suggestions from people will usually point out things that I just missed when I was reading through the thing. So I enjoy having people send in clips and being on the previews call and everything, because they can say, hey, did you see, such and so? Like, well, no, I did not. Thank you for pointing that out. I like hearing that kind of stuff because I like finding new stuff that's cool. We found a couple of them ourselves. We talked about them on, the clips that you just listened to, in particular that Aureus number 1 from Sea Lion Books, was something that stood out for me. But, there are other things in there. The Tower Chronicles I'm getting, and somebody pointed that out to me a couple of months ago. That's why I got the first issue. It's by, Matt Wagner's writing it, and Simon Beisley is drawing it, and I think it's really great. But I would have just totally skipped by that if somebody had not told me about it, because I just missed it.
And one thing about sending in clips, certainly we want our listeners to do it. We want comic fans to do it. I mean, that's a lot of what this is all about. But, you know, if you're a creator or you know a creator or a publisher or an editor or somebody actually connected with the production of these books, they're welcome to send in clips too. I mean, the whole point of this is to get people aware of what's out in previews when it's at the pre-order stage of the game, to where those of us actually pre-ordering through a place like DCBS have a chance to do that. But even, people ordering through local shops, you know, they don't have to pre-order, but the store does. So if they find something they want, it gives them a chance to go to the store now and say, hey, this thing's coming out in a couple of months. I want it. This is the time you have to order it. Please do so. I mean, it helps the store. It gets the reader the book they want. This is the most effective time to be promoting a book. And I can't tell you how many times we will get an email like the week a book is coming out, or in some cases after the fact of, yeah, this came out a while back. We want to promote it now. And I'm like, is anyone going to be able to find it in the shops? Whereas if we had been able to do it during the preview cycle, yes, that's about 2 months in advance of when the thing's coming out, but that's when the orders are placed. That's when it matters. And, you know, at this point, I think we're going to hit in about 2 months when we're looking for, gee, what are we going to review on the weekly comic spotlight? A couple of weeks where it's, wow, we're just not getting a whole lot in the indie section. You know, because for me, once you get outside of Aspen, Boom, Dynamite, Valiant, I guess Comics Tribe, Red 5 Comics, it drops off almost entirely for me. So if people can help me find some other stuff back there, that'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, one other book that's out there, and I talked to Mike Norton about it a little bit on the interview episode that'll be coming up in 2 days on Friday. You know, he's actually inking this book called Lookouts. Lookouts the Riddle, I guess, is the official title. It's from Cryptozoic. It's based on a strip from Penny Arcade, but I don't really read the Penny Arcade site, so I was unaware of that. I just happened to stumble upon it in the comic shop, in my local comic shop, because I'm lucky. I have a comic shop that actually buys lots of indie stuff, so I will see stuff on the racks there that I, from my travels and physically being in hundreds of different comic shops over the last 10, 15 years, I can almost certainly say that, you know, a good 80% of shops, some of these books would never hit the rack in the shop. And certainly if somebody's not asking them to order it, you know, they wouldn't order it. So, you know, the fact that I saw this off the rack and I loved it, it's basically Boy Scouts in a fantasy D&D kind of world. You know, the Lookouts are these young kids who are training to be Rangers. And it's a fun all ages kind of book, and all ages in the best sense of the word. That's not like a kidified book, but it's something that I could hand to a kid and they would like it, and I can read and I like it, and it doesn't feel like it's being written down to me. You know, but I saw issue number one on the rack in the local shop, picked it up, flipped through it and said, wow, I really like this. And now I order it each month. But, you know, there's books like that that live or die on us giving them the word of mouth that, you know, that people should check these things out.
Well, and you said Mike Norton's doing the inking on that, right?
Yeah.
I mean, based on what I saw in previews, I would not have realized that. And I can see how, I mean, Mike's a great guy, and, you know, he's good about promoting stuff, but he's not one to be bragging about, oh yeah, I'm doing all this stuff, and which is surprising because he's like doing a ton of stuff. He's an incredibly talented and prolific creator. But I mean, geez, if he were to just do a clip of, hey, I'm doing inking here, penciling here, backgrounds here, whatever, every month, just to where people, if they want to follow him, know where his work is. I mean, that would be a great clip for him to do. I mean, geez.
And, you know, he's inking somebody else, so it looks like the somebody else. It doesn't look like Mike's normal art, right? Because mm-hmm. He's not taking and altering their art. You know, he's kind of just bringing it to life, but it's not done in his style. He's following the style of the person he's inking.
Yeah.
I read several issues that I didn't even really realize he was inking it until I talked to him. You know, it was fun though. You know, I was like, oh wow, you're inking that? I really like that book.
But for a creator like him, who's got stuff coming out through so many different publishers, you know, there's no easy way to just, I want to follow some of his work, or at least know what he's doing, or something like that.
Right, right.
There's no easy way to do that these days, which is unfortunate, because I enjoy his work.
Yeah, and, you know, on the Marvel side, too, I would relish, you know, big-time Marvel fans to send in more clips on, like, what has got them really excited in Marvel.
I would love that, too, because your selection of Marvel titles has dropped severely low.
Right, and just because I've dropped them, you know, maybe you can, if you're really excited about something, you're going to get me to try something that I haven't really given a second thought to. But even that doesn't matter because, you know, even though I'm only reading a handful of Marvel titles, lots of people love Marvel comics, and that's great. It's great for the industry. It's great for you all. And if you love some of that stuff, talk about it. Get other people excited. I think, you know, letting people know about whatever the title is, Marvel titles, DC titles, indie titles, whatever. You know, Marvel has a lot of books that aren't selling that great. You know, if you love some of these titles, you know, give them a shout out so that they can, you know, sell better. I think that, you know, there's a lot of Marvel books that are selling under 20,000 copies that could benefit from someone who's a big fan of that book, you know, talking about why they think it's really cool. Or, as you know, each month, all these Marvel Now titles are coming out. Hey, you know, which ones look really cool to you? You know, talk about them. You know, say, hey, I'm really excited for this Marvel Now title. This is why I think it sounds cool, and this is why I'm deciding that I'm excited about it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's got to be a bigger audience out there for most of these titles than are getting it. And, you know, we try to provide this as a place where you can get your voice heard as to what's good and what people should be reading. And I'd like to see more people take advantage of that opportunity. If you don't get previews or don't want to get previews, we've got links to the solicitations online every month, and there is mail order comics that actually puts up a PDF version of previews. So, I mean, the information is there to be had, even if you don't want to spend a couple of bucks on previews. But, I mean, just find out what's out there and, you know, what you like and let people be aware of it. Because, I mean, there's about easily 2,000 items getting offered in previews every month, and it's easy for stuff just to get lost in the mix. And, you know, there have been things I've jumped onto way late in the game. Everything from Fables, Elephant Men, Walking Dead's a good example of that. Punisher I'd gotten off and got back on.
Usagi Yojimbo.
Usagi Yojimbo's excellent example of that. I mean, things can be out there for 100 issues without hitting my radar, and I'm reasonably well-read, reasonably aware of what's out there. I mean, I follow previews, I follow the sales, all that kind of stuff. If I'm missing it, geez, how many other people are too?
You know, we tend to talk about Valiant every month because both of us love all the Valiant comics. And, you know, if you're not checking out the Valiant comics, you should. The stores are carrying Valiant comics. You should pick up an issue of Valiant comics. You know, as you listen to this last week, Shadow Man number one came out. You know, check out Shadow Man. It's brand new. No extra reading required. They do a good job on their number one issues. You know, you don't need to have read the previous Valiant series. You don't need to have any kind of lengthy knowledge of any kind of thing. They kind of hit the ground with all the information you need to enjoy these series. And, you know, they're each one of them has a very unique feel to it so far.
Well, what I find interesting is when the new 52 came out, we were able to do an actual solo episode for all that covered all 52 of those issues. And with the Marvel Now stuff, I was kind of hoping that people would just be sending in clips for the various new ones as they're getting launched based on what they're excited about. And we didn't get clips for a lot of them so far. Now, either people figured somebody else would do it or they're just not that excited about it. I don't know. But now is a really easy time for a couple of publishers like Marvel, like, you know, Valiant as they're rolling in new titles, to send in clips and get people aware of it. Or as Valiant's getting to their second and third story arcs to let people know, hey, here's a good jumping on point. So, I mean, there's a lot of books that, I think could really use the support, And, you know, we're trying to give what we can, but we need help. We need people sending in clips. Otherwise, it's just Bob and I talking about the books we're already getting for the most part.
Or, you know, if we do happen to find something new, we'll certainly bring it to your attention. But like we're saying, having some help to, you know,
mine out the gems,
because I like certain things, you like certain things, there's a certain amount of crossover, but then there are other people who like stuff that is not necessarily on either of our radars that could very well resonate with a lot of people that are listening.
Well, that's why I love that Damien sends in clips each and every month. His tastes and my tastes are fairly different. There's some overlap in a few places, but he's covering and pointing out books that just not only are not on my radar, but would never get on my radar. And I love that, because occasionally he'll point one out. It's like, you know, actually, that does sound interesting. Maybe I'll stretch a little and try that out, you know. But just having clips that are coming from a very different vantage point, to me, that's what really makes these episodes work when they work at their best. I know we've harped a lot on please send in clips, but please send in clips. I mean, we can do it if it's just, you know, Bob, I, Damien, one or two other people doing it, but I think these episodes are a lot better when we have a lot more voices to be heard.
Absolutely.
Anything else, or does that do it?
Does it for me.
Cool.
The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.